Welcome to Federal Insights, sponsored by Cloudera on Federal News Network.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Federal Insights. I'm Tom Temin. This year's edition of Sea Air Space wrapped up last week in the course of many discussions was one that focused particularly on the current state of the ongoing cyber fight that both defense and civilian agencies are engaged in. Joining that panel was Vice Admiral Jeffrey Trusler, Deputy Chief of Naval Operations for Information Warfare.
If you look through my bio, you don't see a lot of IT background or industry background relating to that. What the heck does he know about cyber? Well, so as part of that Deputy Chief for Information Warfare, I'm the resource sponsor and requirements guy for the Navy for basically, you know, most of all of our C4I equipment. Okay, that also gets into intelligence. That gets into our capabilities for 10th Fleet and Fleet Cyber Command that operate in this space. And so, and I've been in this job about a year. And the other hat I wear, Director of Naval Intelligence, gives me an unusual look into the murky world of threats we faced from multiple directions. And frankly, where we sit today in 2021, we ought to be having one of those Pearl Harbor moments without the Pearl Harbor. We've gotten a few snippets of things. We've seen a lot in the news recently that gets talked about. That ought to be a big wake-up call, not just for the government, the DOD, the naval services, but for everybody in America, around the world, of the vulnerabilities. It's no longer about security that you're dealing with, depending on where you live, whether or not you lock your front doors or your back doors or, you know, the things like that. You can be impacted personally from anywhere around the world based on our dependency on technology. Okay? Now, we work in our governments, our national security apparatus, even more frightening and more challenging of what we have to do to defend. So I am assuming a lot of people listened in to the chairman yesterday, General Milley. Fascinating discussion. I had the privilege of working for him about 10 years ago. And so, you know, front page of the reporting from yesterday are the chairman's remarks at the luncheon. Emerging tech will change the character of war, and the U.S. must be ready. And then he went through, and it just says, it's very accurately, he said, hey, there are about 40 to 50 new technologies available right now that are going to rapidly evolve what the character of war or how national security will be felt over the next 15 to 20 years. And he went through a long list of things, unmanned systems, artificial intelligence, 5G technology, so forth, things that make our daily lives better, things that will give us great opportunity in the problems we solve and when we go out there. I think the thing that really has me concerned, though, is when I think about it now from this new viewpoint is, wow, that is surface area. That is vulnerability and attack surface area that we have to defend, because we're talking about technology being used in many different ways that we, you know, traditionally in the 20th century didn't use. It was all, you know, it was all hardware. It was all about tonnage. It was all about how fast and far something could fly and hit and how big it's going to explode. That's not the world we're living in right now. And you'll hear, you've heard General Nakasone even, operations below the level of war in the gray zone. That's going on right now. And that, what I say, you know, Pearl Harbor moment without the Pearl Harbor moment, we've seen several examples of that this year. You know, hacks to, you know, software companies that had, you know, stuff out there that we're all using every day. Most people didn't even know they were using some of the products, you know, that, you know, when they say something like SolarWinds or something, most people would, I have that. Is that something in our system? And you have to go, you don't even realize you have something like that. The Colonial Pipeline issue. I mean, and everything that you're seeing in the news, this ransomware, a great word. I'm worried that enough people aren't hearing that, wow, it's a new world. We have to change the way we think and our culture. So in national security, our culture, things we're going to do in defense, national security every day, it's not about we got this, we'll do this, and oh, okay, now how do we make it cyber secure? That's just got to be built in. It has to be part of our culture up front. We're not quite there yet, but we have to drive towards that every day.
Also participating on that panel, Rear Admiral Mike Ryan, commander of U.S. Coast Guard Cyber Command.
How appropriate, you know, that this morning we're sitting on a stage, inter-service, inter-agency, you know, supported by industry, and I think reflected in the audience as well. It is about that teamwork and that partnership that will make the United States successful in the cyberspace operational domain. And I'd like to kick off just with a little bit of a splash this morning. And so I'm not sure if my first slide is up, but this morning, the Commandant of the Coast Guard, Admiral Carl Schultz, is releasing a refresh to our cyber strategic outlook. You know, a new vision for how the Coast Guard is going to conduct operations in the cyberspace operational domain. We'll be pushing out a press release, making it available online, but really revitalizing the conversation both within our service and within our stakeholder groups. You know, there is no more of a prominent national security interest right now than in the cyberspace arena. We hear that from the president, transcends all facets of the administration, and likewise, you know, is one of the key priorities of Secretary Mayorkas from the Department of Homeland Security, where the Coast Guard sits. And we straddle that center space between the military environment, the government arena, and really be able to transcend from a Coast Guard perspective into all of those arenas. This cyber strategic outlook isn't all brand new. It really is just revitalizing a lot of the focus areas since we pushed out our first strategy back in 2015. Three main lines of effort. You know, first and foremost, you've got to defend your own cyber terrain. We're focused on the Department of Defense Information Network and where we sit within that critical cyber infrastructure. We're going to continue to focus and really support the national economic engine by protecting the maritime transportation system. You know, the lifeblood of our economic security, the really bedrock of critical infrastructure supporting all facets of the American way of life. And then really what's new and tantalizing for me as the commander of Coast Guard Cyber Command is how do we elevate the ability for the Coast Guard and our operational forces to operate in and through cyberspace. That's going to be really the wedge that's so exciting as we try to operationalize this strategic outlook. So the Commandant's leadership team, they'll be meeting later on this morning, talking about, you know, really the implementation focus of this strategic outlook. We'll share details along the way, but it really is underpinned by four key enablers. You've got to start your operations with intelligence. You know, N2, N6 obviously can attest to that, but we're going to continue on our intelligence-driven operations. It doesn't matter whether it's in the surface, air, or shore domains, or more relevant to my conversation, cyberspace itself. We're going to continue to leverage that key workforce. You know, we have to have the talent and the dedicated enablers within our team to be able to drive all of these operational objectives. We're going to continue to really embrace innovation, and that may be where some of our industry partners can help the most. We've got to continue to bring the right capability sensors and tools into the hands of our operators. And then, as I talked about, you know, what you see represented on the stage today, it's about the partnerships. We have to really facilitate those relationships with all those key drivers in industry in particular that are going to help us accomplish our mission. But really, that could also extend into the international space. Cyber is not bound by time, speed, or distance. It truly is a global fight. We're going to need those allies and partners to continue to collaborate. You know, I work on a daily basis under the umbrella of General Nakasone and U.S. Cyber Command, really attentive to DHS's mission objectives, but really supported by the Commandant's key leadership team. So you can see the strategic outlook online later on today. And if we can just quickly flip to my second and final slide, you know, here's the team that I'm going to make all of that happen. Aligned with those three lines of effort from the strategic outlook, really constructed much like my sister cyber services and components across the DoD infrastructure, utilizing those industry recognized teams and capabilities that will allow us to drive to really operationalize that strategic outlook each and every day into the future. We could talk about some of those particular mission elements and what they're going to do in terms of Coast Guard Cyber Command and really the objectives of the United States Coast Guard more broadly. Really great pleasure to be here with you this morning. We're excited to participate in the conversation, but most importantly, you know, we understand the value of the partnerships, particularly of those in the room.
We'll have more of this panel discussion on cybersecurity at this year's Sea Air Space Conference after a quick break. I'm Tom Temin.
Data travels at the speed of light, moving past us in every direction. It's easy to feel overwhelmed in the chaos of it all, but what if you could take it all in, refocus it, filter it, direct it? What would you discover? Something profound? Something beautiful? Something that moves you? The right data moves leaders and organizations to bring their vision to life. Cloudera, data that moves you. Visit cloudera.com/public sector to learn more.
Welcome back to this week's edition of Federal Insights. We're airing a panel from this year's Sea Air Space Conference, where the focus was using the cyber capabilities of tomorrow for the cyber fight today. Among the topics discussed was the idea of collaboration among defense and civilian agencies, along with industry. First up was Rear Admiral Mike Ryan, commander of U.S. Coast Guard's Cyber Command.
So what I see, among our crews is really just that innate enthusiasm about their mission space. And what that really does is that cultivates an environment where they want to work with others that are leaders, others that understand the risk proposition, that really are doing some creative things in the cyber arena. And so all we have to do as leaders is facilitate and cultivate that continued embrace of relationships and partnering. I see it with our crews from the Coast Guard and my cyber protection teams today. When they have a chance to operate in an exercise venue, with their service cyber component brethren, with a number of members of industry and really the interagency stewards, they just relish those opportunities. They seek it out. They like bouncing ideas off of one another. They enjoy the intellectual challenge that they encounter. And then they spawn just creative new solutions in and amongst themselves. That's not top-down driven. That really is just the bubble up environment that I think our workforce brings to bear each and every day, that we just give them maneuver space. So we create the commander's intent, we give them all the right resources and capabilities, but it's spawning some great outcomes because we're giving them that opportunity. So, I think that will percolate on itself. We've got to continue to nurture and really drive that spirit. And then we've got to make sure that organizational boundaries, that we break that down so we can really operate together.
Providing more perspective was Vice Admiral Jeffrey Trussler, Deputy Chief of Naval Operations for Information Warfare.
I'll go back to the cultural piece of this, that the cyber protection and operations is not going to be, well, we got all this really important stuff that we do, and I'm speaking from a DoD perspective, and then we got some other people that better take care of that cyber stuff for us. Okay. It has to be culturally embedded in everything we do. That's going to be a little bit of education. Even as I've been thinking about it, throughout the week, what are we going to talk about here? I wasn't even really considering some of the things that this panel would bring. So what Sea Air and Space has done a really good job of, a wide variety of perspectives. And wow, P&T, huge. I spend a lot of time on that personally. I've never come across your organization or program or even thought that, what is the Department of Transportation? We convene large meetings with a lot of people to talk about some of our vulnerabilities and specific in cyber protection. I'm thinking, wow, I don't know where that crosstalk is happening, but it has to be part of our culture because we're all in this. And that cheese that you're talking about, there's a lot of great things they want to chase after. They'd love to get into the chairman's account and figure out what he's doing. That's probably pretty tough. They'd love to take control of an aircraft or a ship at sea. That's pretty tough. Not out of the realm of possible, but what they're really going to go after is that critical infrastructure that none of the government owns. We may regulate it or something like that. That is a soft underbelly. We've seen examples of that. They don't have to get at those big pointy end fleet assets. They can go to Vice Admiral Skubik's Defense Logistics Agency and disrupt that supply line of things that we can't operate. Where's that fuel? Where is the parts flows have stopped? And you go bounce that back to where things start to get to the fleet, to get to the operators. There's a long chain and there's a whole lot of attack surface and vulnerabilities that we really need to stitch together.
There's no shortage of the types of cyber threats that government agencies are encountering these days. The panel talked about countering the growing variety of cyber attacks, and first up was Vice Admiral Trussler.
There's a lot of things that you have to do. And there's, immediately a lot of people will throw out a lot of buzzwords and things. Zero trust, we got to, get that. And we'll talk about a comply to connect, and we'll jump in and do all that. But in the end, the way I've been kind of thinking about this and coming from a different background and perspective, there's really three things we do. When we bring systems into being, risk management framework, laborious, okay, if it's applied that way. But it's really this to barely get you on the playing field of, you got to just do this to walk in the door. If you don't do this, you know, you're not even smart. But that is that going to protect you? No, these are just kind of the known things you need to take care of. Very simple. Software and hardware vendors, they tell us their vulnerabilities. They're pretty good about that. They give it to us, and then it's our challenge to get them implemented throughout, you know, 300 ships and a couple of thousand planes and network systems around the world. That's a challenge, a big effort that we got to go through. And then our encryption, okay, that we apply. And you'll hear General Nakasone say, hey, that's our last line of defense. We do all of these things, but we still don't know. And those things get blown up when you get some intelligence that tells you, oh, they're in this system. Mm-hmm. Or they're really working hard on this system, and this wasn't one we're focused on. Or our own red teams.
Sorry. I keep on coming.
You turn our experts or somebody else's experts on and just say, hey, what can you do to that destroyer? You know, and then you get some creative people who don't have any skin in the game of claiming how have built these or protections. So intelligence and the red teams really will blow up what you think. And that's where I think we have to get more at partnerships and creativity and putting people who haven't built and haven't invested their time and energy to tell you it's cyber safe or tell you it's not vulnerable. But let some creative people think like the adversary. And so that's why we work very hard in the Navy to create that resiliency. What happens if you get hit? Can you be disconnected? And the defense in depth. We have some vulnerabilities. They're just things you're never going to fix. Therefore, that defense in depth strategy that we put, okay, we're not ever going to upgrade this software until we upgrade this hardware, and that's hard for a big fleet of ships. But then there are defense in depth mitigations. So that is a constant loop we're having to deal with.
The Coast Guard's Rear Admiral Mike Ryan had this to say.
You know, I talked about protecting the maritime transportation system. And when you think about 90% of our economic commodities arrive by sea, $5.6 trillion of economic activity for our nation every year. You know, it's really a vested terrain for the Coast Guard as both a regulatory agency and really a steward for the maritime community to help that segment of our industrial base to raise their game in the cybersecurity arena. We're engaging at the port level in support of our field commanders to try to get the maritime community to understand those risks and vulnerabilities. We provide assessments, you know, at their facilities, on board their vessels, really so we can give guidance and counsel back to our field commanders within the Coast Guard, but also to generate that dialogue and awareness across that port community so that they can make the appropriate investments, harden their infrastructure, raise their resilience, and really protect, you know, the vital equities of our United States in and of themselves. That's not something where the government's gonna necessarily do it all for them, you know, but port security grant money that can be invested, you know, within that community. $17, $18 million of that just this year alone for 60 different projects, you know, stewarded by FEMA and the United States Coast Guard. That's just a niche area where the Coast Guard is heavily engaged, but reflective of the fact that this is a collective fight. And we can defend the Doden all we want, and that will preserve, you know, our vital military capabilities. That's all well and good. But like Colonial Pipeline, if the underpinnings of our nation are attacked or disrupted, that's as equally disabling as if our military power cannot be projected. So it's an all-in game in this arena.
Hear more from this panel at Sea Air Space after one more break. I'm Tom Temin.
Data travels at the speed of light, moving past us in every direction. It's easy to feel overwhelmed in the chaos of it all, but what if you could take it all in, refocus it, filter it, direct it? What would you discover? Something profound? Something beautiful? Something that moves you? The right data moves leaders and organizations to bring their vision to life. Cloudera, data that moves you. Visit cloudera.com/public sector to learn more.
Welcome back to our third and final segment of Federal Insights. I'm Tom Temin. Now that we've heard about all the kinds of threats the federal agencies and critical industries are facing, which ones are cyber leaders most concerned about? The head of the Coast Guard Cyber Command, Rear Admiral Mike Ryan, in a panel discussion at this year's Sea Air Space Conference, explained what concerns him the most.
You know, as a member of the Joint Force, particularly within the Joint Cyber Force, you know, the Coast Guard is developing and has established our first combat mission team or cyber mission team in our lexicon, just so we can translate beyond the military hemisphere in our conversations. But, that gives us special opportunity to carry the bidding of the nation, you know, in the cyber fight under General Nakasone's leadership from U.S. Cyber Command. But, I talked about that line of effort three. How do we operate in and through cyberspace? What that really does for us is it opens up that adversary conversation. It brings in some of those non-nation state, but likewise lethal adversaries that are looking to impose ill will on our nation, whether it's transnational criminal organizations, fishing fleets that are decimating our vital resource stocks around the globe, where their actions, you know, really are putting our nation at an economic disadvantage. You know, trying to figure out the rest of the mission space for the Coast Guard and how can we leverage cyber techniques, whether it's through our cyber mission team, through some of our defensive activities, but really understanding that adversary, applying the intelligence-driven views, and then leveraging cyber techniques really to thwart those ill outcomes. You know, whether it's malicious enterprise, the novel hacker, or potentially nation state, you know, the Coast Guard is going to continue to grow into our new cyber strategic outlook and bring the tools and capabilities to bear that put us on par with the other services in this arena. But then likewise, thinking about the Department of Homeland Security equities, when we think about those, you know, near-term, on our doorstep threats that are impacting our citizens each and every day.
And what tools are available for fighting the cyber battle? One is constant monitoring, but with lots of surveillance comes lots of data. How do you navigate through all of that? Navy Vice Admiral Jeffrey Trussler took this question first.
I think tremendous opportunity with data. And in the Navy, especially in the information warfare community, kind of in the rubric I support, we deal with lots of data, oceanographic data. I mean, that just screams for artificial intelligence and machine learning, and we're applying some of that. Undersea, acoustic data. We're the repository, the National Acoustic Intelligence Agency, you know, basically at ONI. Large volumes of data that people just can't, you know, get through anymore. So applying it there. But getting to things, examples Mr. Robbs brought up, is like, how do we get it to just beyond telling us something or identifying to decision processes that might operate at speed, which it can have an impact if I just tell you where it came from. And I frankly am disappointed when I get, so after forums like this, and it'll happen again because of what I'm getting ready to say, I'm disappointed when people come talk to me about AI. And I say, and I usually ask this, I've gotten to where I ask the same question. Tell me the difference between just some sophisticated automation and what you're describing as artificial intelligence and machine learning and what it can do. And I'm surprised at the lack of good answer I get from that. And where we really are in the science of that on the spectrum of what it should be able to do for us. So you put that in just handling large amounts of data that we know how to do, as you know, that lots of humans can do, and to do it now take some of this automation and do it more efficiently. But how, from just unusual attack vectors in a very complicated cyberspace, I'm struggling to get my arms around. Somebody just can tell, oh, you got to apply AI to that. I mean, that becomes a buzzword that gets you in the door, and but I've not seen really good examples that help me out. And I struggle with that, and I'm sure there's a bunch of people waiting to lined up right now to say, well, I'm going to show you how to do that. But that's where I struggle with that.
You've been listening to coverage of this year's Sea Airspace. On the panel you heard were Vice Admiral Jeffrey Trussler, Deputy Chief of Naval Operations for Information Warfare, and Rear Admiral Mike Ryan, Head of the Coast Guard Cyber Command. To hear this episode again or share it with colleagues, please visit federalnewsnetwork.com and search Federal Insights. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights for August, sponsored by Cloudera on Federal News Network.